This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
It's story time!
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. I'm Claire, I go by Clizair on the internet, and this is the podcast where guests come on to share their stories with me. And this week I have with me Richard Matthews. Welcome, Richard.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for reaching out. Could you tell everyone where to find you on the internet and introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Richard Matthews, and I am a full-time traveler and business owner. I travel with my wife and four kids and giant dog in a RV. This is the back bedroom of my RV that we're in right now. And I run a couple of businesses online. So if you want to find us, we run a podcasting business called Push Button Podcasts. It's a full service podcasting agency. Or if you're more interested in our van life or our RV life, depending on, you know, which part of the world you're in, we have a YouTube channel that we just started the other day called Days Without Incident. And it's going over the last 4 years of our story, traveling and having fun with our kids. I actually just spent most of yesterday filming with my son. I'm teaching him how to do some of the editing and other things. And, you know, we were doing some crazy stuff like playing with making him teleport from one spot and appear in another one. So anyways, we're having fun learning how to do YouTube stuff together and make a travel vlog over on Days Without Incident.
Days Without Incident is actually a great name.
That's I really like it. Mostly yeah. It's really funny because if you've ever traveled full time like we have, you know that like your counter is like how many, you know, it's literally like how many days have we gone without blowing something up, right? Like today we had to get an emergency pump out for our gray tank because we accidentally turned on the washing machine and we forgot we weren't hooked up to a sewer pipe. So now our shower is filled with water, right? So we're back to 0 days without incident. And like the other day, I just about broke my toe sitting at my desk working on something because I slipped and hit my foot. I'm like, there's always something going on, whether it's an injury or... oh yeah, I took my daughter to the pool the other day, and as soon as we get to the pool, she like trips on something and face plants, so she's all bloodied up on her face. There's always something going on. It's an RV problem, or with four kids, there's always injuries or bleeding, and you know. So Days Without Incident is a fitting name for a family who travels.
And your story, there's so much to your story, isn't there? So you're living the RV life, and you've already explained to me off camera the difference between RV and van life, if you want to explain to the rest of the Europeans watching. Yeah. Do you want to explain to the rest of the Europeans watching?
So my understanding is that in Europe, the bigger RVs or recreational vehicles is what we call them are not as popular in Europe. So a lot of them are the vans. So in Europe, it's more common to call people who live in an RV van life, or like to live in a van. And in the US, the vans are the very specific, they're the small, like they look like a van, and you can live in them with one or two people. But you know, we use the larger term over here, all RV life, to include vans and the big class A buses like what we're in, or like the class A ones that have like the bed over the cab, or the trailers that you tow behind your truck.
Ooh, trailers. Okay. Oh, I know what you're talking about when you say trailers. Sorry, it took me a second, because we call trailers something else, but I realized. What? So when you say trailer, you're talking about the kind of thing that you would see in like a trailer park. Whereas when you said trailer, I thought of like, we have these trailers that you like put things into. You can't live in them. I can't explain them either. So can't. So how did you guys get into this?
Well, it was 4 years ago now. And we were living in a small home, little three bedroom place in Southern California, on the west coast of the US. And we had been living there for 4 or 5 years, and we just had our third baby, and we were looking at just renewing our lease, right? Because, you know, our lease was coming up and we needed to renew it. And then I called the landlord and they were like, yeah, we can renew your lease, no problem. We'll get you the documents all back in a week or so you can renew your lease. And he calls us back a few days later and he goes, so about that lease renewal, we can't do it. The landlord the owner of your house who we're managing for wants to sell. They don't want to renew your lease. So you're going to have to move out in 6 weeks. and we're
with
in the middle
kids.
Of summer, like when there's
3 weeks notice with three kids, one of them's
the baby. Yeah. So it was like 6 weeks is how long we had. And my wife and I had a momentary freak out because we're like, oh my goodness, we have to find a new place to live. And we're like, okay, it's not that big of a deal. We needed another bedroom anyways, because we just had a baby. So we were looking at, let's, you know, and the guy who was managing the house was like, hey, we've got other properties you can look at. Maybe we can find you another place to move into. And so we started down that path. And then after a couple of days of discussion, my wife and I were like, you know, maybe this is an opportunity to take that RV trip we've been talking about, right? Because for the last 4 or 5 years, we're like, hey, you know, someday in the future, you know, when we're wealthy and, you know, all of our kids are moved out and, you know, we have time and all that other things, we'll travel around the country and see everything, right? And we had like, we had plans and we just knew at some point in the future, we'd get to that. But, you know, we've always got, you know, what do you call them? Like responsibilities and obligations. Like, you know, we got dinner with grandma and we got gym class and you got school and other things and work. And, you know, if you have a lease on a house, you got, you're stuck there until the lease is done. And, you know, our leases generally run 1 to 2 years in the U.S. And so we had we were just at a spot where like the only thing we had responsibility wise was my son's gymnastics class. And everything else was like, was over, right? I had my business was virtual at that point, you know, cause we were doing virtual business before virtual was cool. My kids were being homeschooled so we could take that with us. And you know, the gym class was the only thing that was in one location. And with the lease being up, we were like, maybe this is that opportunity where we don't have any strings tying us here. Maybe we should try that RV trip. And so we did, and we pulled out a list of several RVs we wanted to buy that, were around the country, and we, went and looked at them. So we basically piled all the kids into the car and, put in some stuff in the back of the trunk of the car to see, you know, in case we bought one of the RVs, we would be able to, you know, live in it and drive on it on the way back. And with, I believe 3 weeks left before we had to move out, we drove away from our house without having a new place to move into to go check out these RVs. And it was 1500 miles worth of driving. So we drove to go see the first RV from California to Kansas. It was like 26-hour drive. We got to the first one. And I took out a loan from my grandpa just to, so we could have enough money to pay for the coach if we liked it. And we got there and the coach was just trashed. It's just the worst thing we'd ever seen. Like someone like, we went to go drive it. And like, as you're driving down the road, you can smell the smell of like the black tank, which is like the poop smell rolling up and down the house. Cause it was just in horrible condition. And so we were like, oh no, what have we gotten ourselves into? We just drove halfway across the country to go check out an RV. And we had like a few more on the list, but we were like, if they're all like this, we're screwed, right? Cause we're going to get back home, not have a house and have wasted 2 weeks driving around looking at RVs. So the first one was terrible. And we went and go visited my wife's family because they're halfway across the U.S. And so that was our excuse. They got to meet the new baby. And, you know, it was a impromptu family trip. In case we don't get an RV, we'll just tell people it was in, you know, what we really meant to do was go see your family. So anyways, we saw our family. We got that. And then we went down to Texas to go look at the second RV and we fell in love. It was actually exactly what we were looking for. It's an older coach that needed to be restored. And was built really well, you know, really good bones and whatnot. And so we bought it, we paid cash for it. And the best part about paying cash for it was when we left, we didn't have enough cash in the bank to pay for the RV. But because I run my business virtually, my wife drove and I worked and called clients and got things. And we got the cash in the bank by the time we got to the RV to pay for it. So we bought that RV and we drove it off the lot and promptly got it stuck in the ditch on the lot between the road and the lot for the RV. So we're in the, you know, in Texas, which is where we bought it. They have the ditch between the road and the lot that are going into where the water runs through. And if you're in a big long RV, if you drive straight over the ditch, it just gets stuck. So we drove, I didn't know how to do it because I'd never had an RV before. So I drove over the ditch straight over it. And so the front tires on one side of the ditch, the back tires are just spinning in the air and the ass end of the RV is just stuck on the other side of the ditch. So I had to go back into the RV guy. I was like, so I got the RV I just bought from you 10 minutes ago stuck in your in your front thing. And he's like, oh, no problem, we'll get it taken care of. And he pulls out a forklift and he's like, we'll just lift, you know, we'll take a forklift to put some straps down to the hitch and lift it up and then it'll roll back, which worked perfectly fine, except that once it lifted and the weight came off of the hitch, the RV swung on the thing and crunch, crunch, crunch.
No.
We put 6 forklift holes in the back of the RV we've only owned for 10 minutes.
Oh my God.
So that was the first few minutes of our trip. And it only gets more fun from there. But we get it all the way back home after, you know, we lost the air conditioner vent on the way home. We're driving down the road into Arizona, I think, and the air conditioner vent flies off because it was all sun rotted and old. And my wife, like, she radios me because she's in the car behind us, and she's like, so the air conditioner just flew off. And I'm like, I'm looking up, I'm like, but it's still there, because it wasn't the whole air conditioner, it was just the cover on it. And so I had to go, and you know, we pull off to the side and pick up the garbage, and the next park we're in, I'm going and fixing the air conditioner, and I'm up on top of the roof, and my son's taking the dog out, and the dog is new to all of this, he's a puppy, and my son's only like 7 at the time, and the puppy takes off, and my son is holding him, and he gets dragged across the gravel. And I'm like on top of the roof, like yelling, let go of the dog, as he's getting dragged down the thing. And after like 30 feet, he finally lets go. And he's like all scraped up all along the side. So I'm like, we're like 2 days into our trip, and we've put 6 holes in the RV. We've lost the top of the air conditioner thing. And my son's bloody from one side to the other. So we managed to get all that taken care of. My wife doctors him and pulls the gravel out of his side and whatnot. And we continue on down the road. We get to Arizona, and we pull into a gas station to fill up with gas. And once we're done filling up with gas, the coach won't start. The starter went bad.
Oh my God. We had
the truck stop mechanic comes over and helps us get it fixed. And we had to put new starter and new batteries in it. And we managed to get all the way to, we had to get to get to Las Vegas, because I was doing my grandmother's eulogy. So we go and do that. And my best friend lives in Vegas, and he's like, didn't you have a third RV on your list to look at? And I was like, yeah, we did. He was like, well, I want to go look at it, because it's in Arizona, Phoenix. It's only a few hours from where he lives in Las Vegas. And he's like, because maybe I'll buy one too. And so we stayed an extra day at his house and left all of our kids to play with his kids. And, you know, the wives stayed there, and him and I went down to Phoenix to look at the third RV we had on our list. And it was also great. So he bought it. And then so he actually brought it home, and they moved into an RV full time as well. And they started a separate channel called Seeking Shenanigans. So you can follow them. Yeah, we bought 2 RVs, myself and my best friend. He sort of did that on a whim. And then we got the RV back home. It survived, no more issues. But we had 14 days left from where we were to take everything in our house and move it into a 33-foot RV, which is not very big. No slides, right? And not very much basement storage, whole thing. And we had to take a 3-bedroom house that we lived in for 5 years.
Sorry,
with
what
3
do you mean
kids.
By no slides?
So on the RVs, the sides will slide out and make it bigger.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So some of the bigger ones they can double or triple their space with the slides. So we had an older one that predated the slide technology. So it's just it's a 33-foot tube that's like 8 feet across. So we have 33 feet by 8 feet of space, and the front of that is all the chairs and the driving stuff. So it's more like 29 feet of space. On 8 feet across, and that's like our living space, and then the basement storage. And there's a little trunk, I think, on it. So we had to take everything in our house, and so I worked on the renovations. Like, you know, we took the decals off, and I cleaned it, and I redid some electrical stuff and piping, and took down all the curtains so my wife could redo the curtains. And then she took care of garage sailing everything that we owned that we weren't going to fit in the RV, fit all the stuff we needed to in the RV, and then donating all the rest. And with 1 day left to go, we gave the keys back to the landlord, put all the kids in the RV, and drove off into our new life, only to, you know, we went up to my dad's house, who was close by, so he could help me with some electrical work. And so our first day actually living in the RV, we go up to his place, and they've got their whole community has got a bunch of RVers who live there. So they have like some special storage places for RVs. And they even have like an RV lift that you drive up onto, so you can get under it and fix things if you need to. And I was like, we needed to fix some stuff on the suspension, and my dad was going to help me do that. That's why we went up there. And so we pulled the RV up onto the lift, and our black tank, which is the thing that holds your poop in, the little tube for it was hanging down a little bit, and I crunched it on the lift, and we broke the black tank our first day in.
Oh no.
So now we can't use the toilet until we fix it. So my dad and I had to learn how to do plastic welding to fix the tank and everything. So that's our first couple of weeks. We're just insane of getting into it. Hence the name for our channel, Days Without Incidents.
Makes sense.
So anyways, that's a long story, but that's how we got started in the RV trip.
I'm just going to pause you for 1 second, just because my husband's making noise. I want to close this door. Give me 1 second. And we'll get back to it now. Just Let me see. I just want to check here for a second that we're not. Let me see. Yeah, we're fine. We've got plenty of time. Okay, sweet. Back to where we were talking about. Because sorry, I was just muting myself there while you were talking because my husband was fucking making noise downstairs and I didn't want it to interrupt. So now the door is closed. We can keep going. So yeah, so your first week or so in the RV seems like it was a lot.
It was crazy. It was a crazy couple of weeks.
But you're still in it 4 years later, so it must have got better from there.
Yeah, so the next couple of, we spent the first 6 months or so, like, having all sorts of problems. And, like, if you've ever changed your lifestyle drastically like we did, going from a standard house to moving into an RV and traveling, you throw literally, like, every routine you've ever had out the window. Right. So like the way that you go to the bathroom changes, right? How you buy groceries changes, everything you know about your life, like how you turn the lights on and off changes, and how you manage like electricity in your life, all of it, like all the things that you take for granted in your life as your like normal routines. Like when you go over and flip the light switch on, the lights come on. Well, that doesn't always happen in the RV if you don't have it plugged in or if you let the batteries die or other things like that. So like there's all like every routine you've ever had thrown out the window. So the first 6 months in the RV, my wife and I, like, you know, ever like encountering new issues and learning how to live in this new lifestyle, we asked ourselves constantly, like, are we crazy? Like, what have we just done? And, you know, we figured we would travel for at least a year just to see if we liked it. Right. And if we didn't like it, we could always, you know, move back into a house, you know, lease another place. It wouldn't be a big deal. And, you know, we just parked the RV at a friend's house until we could find a place and it wouldn't be the end of the world. But what's interesting is something happened about 6 months in that was kind of magical. And what happened was we figured all the routines out, right? We got into understanding like, how do you pick your places to stay and how long do you want to stay at them? And how do you, you know, make it so your three-year-old daughter who's potty training can reach the door handle and actually get to the toilet, right? And once you sort of figure out all the routines and you figure out how to live this lifestyle, you start to really appreciate the freedom that comes with it, right? Where, you know, you can go places that you like, you can chase the weather, you can go to, you know, beautiful places whenever you want. And, you know, like
chasing the weather sounds good, actually.
It really does. And, you know, we've done that where you say, hey, like, I want to be in 72 degree weather all year. And you can just chase the 72 degree weather around wherever you want. Especially in a big country like the US, there's always some place where the weather's nice and you can go there. And you know, if you're like, I feel like the ocean today, you can go and live at the ocean. Like we have legitimately lived on the beach. We've pulled our RV up onto the beach and had like, as the tide comes in, the tide came all the way in up to like our tires on the RV. And so like getting out to go walk on the beach in the morning was opening the door and you were there. And we've been up in Yosemite and, you know, we've slid off of waterfalls and we've stood on the great battlefields of, you know, the history here in the US with Gettysburg and, you know, the Alamo, and we've fed wild donkeys and we've been to all four corners of the country, and just sort of seen and experienced things that most people don't get to see or experience. And you really, you fall in love. After a point. And, you know, by the time we got to a year into our journey, my wife and I are like, this is something we want to do for the long term. And it's what's super fun about that is we have, since we got on the road, our business has grown more than four times. So in terms of number of clients that we serve, revenue that we're bringing in, I've got four times the staff that I had when we started. And I got partial ownership in a candle company, and we're doing big things with that company. And I just had got invited to work with UNICEF and the UN for teaching digital marketing and other things. So like our business and our lifestyle has grown and gotten bigger and more successful as we have traveled and experienced more life. And it's been really interesting to just see how it correlates, right? How you're making your life bigger, sort of, and I don't know, more intriguing, I guess, sort of fits into all of the pieces of your life, into your business and to your family. And like, you know, we've even had a kid on the road, our fourth kid we got pregnant with in Texas. And, you know, we saw a midwife virtually and sort of like bicycle spoke back for appointments as we traveled. And we had a baby at a birth center. And, you know, 3 weeks after we had the baby, we got back on the road and started traveling more. And so our daughter's two now. By the time she's three, she'll have been to all 50 states in the U.S.
Really? Wow. Yeah. So you're going to different states more than once then?
Yeah, we've been back and forth a few times. There's still a few states we haven't seen yet. So like, if you're familiar with the U.S., we've done the whole West Coast. We've done all the way across the South. We've done the entire East Coast, which is what we did this year. We've done most of the Midwest. And all we have left is like Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and then like North and South Dakota and some of the upper Midwest states. So we're going to do that next summer. And so we'll be 5 years in next summer and we'll have seen all of the lower 48 states in the U.S.
And so I guess what I'm wondering is like, I'm trying to picture how you do everything in that space, because like even people who are watching this on YouTube, like we talked before and I said your camera looks amazing. And, you know, you've got your setup there with your camera and your lights and you've got background and that's all in your RV. And then like, where is your wife and kids right now? And are they like in a different room? Like,
let me zoom this out and you can see. So like, this is legitimately, this is the bed. And yeah. Like the master bedroom, this is where the magic happens. That's what I said. but like, there's the closet back here and like, that's got all the kids' clothes and all their toy boxes and whatnot. We got a washer and dryer in this closet over here. I'm sitting at a dresser and the dresser had two sets of drawers and I have one set of drawers that I kept and the other set of drawers I cut out and turned into a desk. Right. And so I mounted my monitor and my camera and some lights and my keyboard and put in a keyboard slidey drawer here. So I have like an office space set up. And then we have essentially three sections. We got this back bedroom and then the middle section is a bathroom section. So it's got a shower and a bathroom and a couple of sinks. And then that door closes off and it goes to the front. And so in the front, we've got a kitchen. I've got a triple bunk setup that I built for the kids. So we got three bunk beds up there. And then there's a couch and a dining area and then the front driver seats. And so I just close off the door in the middle and they're up there doing their schoolwork. They're all on their iPads and tablets while out doing their schoolwork on the internet while I come back here. And some magic things we do. I have a software program called crisp.ai that mutes a lot of the noise. So like, here, let me show you the difference. If I flip that off, this is more of the noise you'll hear in the RV. You may or may not be able to hear it, but like the washing machine is going.
I can definitely hear a difference. Yeah.
And the fan is going, and sometimes the kids are generally screaming and whatnot. The software program called Crisp even gets rid of the kids screaming for the most part. It's pretty good. So if I, the sound gets better, but yeah. And so I can have this.
That's amazing. Feel. That's like insane.
How
different that is. Wow.
Yeah. So you can't hear the washing machine anymore. You can't hear the fan anymore. And
but
if the kids
your voice has not changed. Quiet, right? I find like sometimes when I'm trying to fix things like that in post, like the main voice gets ruined if you're trying to remove stuff in the background. God, that's so good. That's very impressive.
So that little software app, worth its weight in gold if you're a podcaster, by the way.
I was about to say, did you invent that? Like, are you going to be like, that's my app?
I did not.
App,
I wish. I wish. I have an affiliate link for it, which I'm happy to give you. I don't know what it is.
I'll put it in the link in the description.
Yeah, it's richardmatthews.me/go/crisp, I think. But anyways, I'll get you the link for it.
Yeah, I'll put it in the description.
It's like $4 a year.
I'll definitely be using it. $4 a year. Okay, I'll definitely be using it. Not an ad, but I definitely will be on to you about that one.
Yeah, so I think if you're in pounds, I think it's like only like three pounds a year, something like that. So super
close.
Cheap.
Euros, but like, yeah. Same. I'd say we'd be about 350. So yeah, you also have a business, which is really interesting that you're running a business from your RV. So my first question on that, we have a few. So you mentioned you've staff. So I presume all your staff are like virtual. So they're living wherever they're living and you guys are all Zooming, which makes sense. But another question that I had was your connection is so good. Like your connection's really like Ireland was new to Zooming this year and lots of people Zooming from home, even though they had like set broadband connections, still dropped out every 5 minutes. And your connection's so good. So how do you work that, especially working online? Like, how do you have such good internet?
So we have good internet most of the time. It's not always great. Like next week, we're not going to have much signal at all. So it's going to be terrible. But the way that we deal with that is we have a couple of commercial level pieces of equipment. So if you're familiar, you've seen those little hotspots that like Verizon or T-Mobile have, that's a little box that you can put your SIM card in and it's like, hey, you can have internet. And what we've done is we've bought a few of those boxes, the little hotspots, and we pull the SIM cards out. And I bought a commercial router that's designed for a tour bus. Okay. So like, if you've ever been on a tour bus and they like, hey, we have free Wi-Fi. I have the box that makes free Wi-Fi available for on tour buses.
Of course. And then that can take so many devices.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're interested in something like that, that's called a PepWave Max Transit Duo. And it's $1,000 device. But it has, it has two LTE radios in it. So two like hotspots. And then each one of those hotspots has two SIM cards. So I can have, in the US, our providers are Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. And there was Sprint, but Sprint and T-Mobile merged. So I could have a SIM card from all of them and put them all in there.
So and you then always have one, coverage.
Yeah, whichever one had service would be the one that was working. So it would just automatically fail over between one or the other. And then to make it even better, I bought a what they call a cell phone signal booster, which is it takes whatever cell phone signal it has and boosts it two or three times. So you have a lot better signal. And I have a pole outside over here that has an omnidirectional and a directional antenna on it. So depending on how far away you get from the towers, you can still point it at the towers and pull in a signal. So 90, 95% of the time, we have enough cell signal with a commercial router and a cell phone signal booster to have good enough internet that I can work. We can do Zoom calls like this. I run a podcast. I have a podcast called The Hero Show. I've done a little over 180 interviews on the road from that. And then my kids all do their school virtually. So we have enough for all of those things to happen using the cell phone stuff. So yeah, that's how we get connected and stay connected.
That's so interesting. And sorry, is your podcast, just out of curiosity, is it a video podcast?
It is. It's a video podcast. And I interview entrepreneurs and we talk about their story as if they were a comic book superhero. Super fun.
Oh, that sounds really cool, actually. And then what was I going to say? Yeah, so you had mentioned that your kids were homeschooled before you moved into the RV, and now you've just said they do school virtually. So is it homeschooling now, or is it like, how, what is virtual schooling, I guess?
So we have a curriculum that is, it's called Acellus. It's a big public school curriculum that's available in the US, and some big public schools use it. It is available to homeschoolers through a service called powerhomeschool.org. Because they have the school license for it, and then they just license us as like teachers, I guess. And so to get our kids signed up for it, it costs us $25 a month per child. And they can take up to 7 classes. So my 11-year-old is taking English, math, science, history, and music appreciation, Spanish, and coding. And I think he's done with music appreciation, might be starting engineering.
Wow.
Right. So he's got all these classes. Being virtual just means that the classes are taught on the iPad. The curriculum is really good, actually, because they like custom designed like all of the math classes, and they've got apps and stuff, and like the coding classes, like you can like order a robot, and as he does the coding, the robot actually like interacts with the code. It's really cool stuff.
Cool.
And so the kids go through their schoolwork, and then they get assignments and other things that like mom has to print out and they have to do, and we submit all the stuff online. So it's virtual school essentially, but it's homeschooled stuff. So we're sort of in charge of our timeline and whatnot. So, when we're in super cool places, we're like in Yosemite, or we're in some place where we don't have internet, we take the week off, right? So instead of having like a 3-month summer break, which is typical for US kids, at least we do school full year round, and just we take time off whenever we're in places either where we don't have internet, or when we're in some place really cool where we don't want to not worry about school that week and we just want to go explore and have fun.
And so, and do you do the same then with your work? So you might say, look, I'm not going to have signal for a week. Bye.
Yeah, I sort of hand it all off to my, my staff, and they take care of things. And I'll be like, hey, I'll be checking in once a day. I'll have to like drive into a Starbucks because we have no internet. And I'll check on anything. So if you have any emergencies, list them all here and I'll get them taken care of.
That's so interesting. And then, I guess, what's it like to live and... You obviously like it, and you were saying that you'd traveled all over the US. Actually, I did have a question. Have you left the US, and or would it be possible like to go outside of the US?
We have traveled into Mexico, just a day trip. And so we went down into Mexico, Tijuana, and explored that. And then We've been up into Canada, up in the Northwest, and we were going to go into Canada a couple of weeks ago. We were hoping to anyways, but they still haven't opened their borders since COVID stuff. So we were up in Niagara Falls and we got some friends in Toronto, and we were going to go and do lunch with them. That was the plan when we started going up that direction. But because the borders are closed, they were like, you can go over and say hi for lunch, but you have to quarantine for 14 days before you can see them. So it's like, we can't really do that because
yeah,
where we're at. So the right now it's not really possible. But when the borders are actually open, there's places across the Mexican border that we can go and take the RV. And there's several places you can actually, so Canada is more RV friendly than Mexico is. So in Canada, you can actually take the RV all the way across all the provinces and visit the whole country. We haven't done that because the border has been closed for the last year and a half or so. But it is something we would like to do eventually, is see more of Canada.
And how does that work with visas? Do you not, you don't need any?
My understanding, we haven't done it, but you can get 6-month travel visas for Canada. I don't know how it works in Mexico. I know we only got the day visas when we went into Mexico. But I know in Canada, you can get a 6-month visa where you can go up and travel for like the whole summer.
And in comparison to like living in a house, I guess, what is van life like? I feel like from watching van life stuff / RV life. Yeah, I've never really, I think I was watching a lot of van stuff because they were actually in just vans that they'd single-handedly made into something you could live in. But like in general, that kind of like mobile lifestyle, like it comes across like real carefree and like free. But you've mentioned in some cases where you have to make allowances to be able to do things. So you have to get you have to make sure your internet's good and you have to plan ahead and change kind of some of your routines and stuff. But like, do you still think it's like way more cool than living in a house?
So you have to know what it is you're looking for out of life, right? And what's important to you, because you're going to get some benefits, but you're also, those benefits are going to come with detriments, and they're sort of like flip-flopped from what you have if you're living stationary. Right. So some of the things that I didn't like about being stationary, and you know, a lot of people probably relate to, is it sort of feels like, especially if you have a job that you're going to on a regular basis, like you have a chain, like an 8-hour chain back to that spot. Like, you know, the farthest we can get away is 8 hours, probably have to go back to work. And because of that sort of chain, you sort of get into a routine where you're like, you know, I know when we lived in we call it the sticks and bricks houses, is what us road folks call them. So when we lived in our sticks and bricks house, we had a very set routine, right? It was like Monday at 11 o'clock was gym class for my son. And Tuesday was, you know, Taco Tuesday. We went to our favorite Mexican restaurant for lunch. And Wednesday we had a family dinner with my mom. And Thursday we did XYZ, right? Like, and it was like, I could tell you down to the minute where we were going to be all the time, right? Because our life was just, it was very routine, and everything was always, you know, we ate at the same restaurants. We did the same things. We went on the same adventures on the weekends. And we had met the same people and we hung out with the same people. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. They're all good things. We had a good life. And so I'm not to disparage any of that. That's just, it was very routine, and we wanted to change that routine. And so that's where, when traveling comes in, now we have, the routines are very different. All right. So your routines are like, here's how you pack, you know, you have your packing up your RV routine, and you have your planning your next couple of weeks of traveling routine. And you have like, how do we find a grocery store routine? Right. Cause you're not, you know, we don't go to the same grocery store anymore. Like when we lived in our sticks and bricks house, you went to the same grocery store and you went up and down the aisles the same way, right? Every single week. And now it's like, which grocery store are we going to go to? How far away is it? Is it, you know, just down the street, or is it 45 miles? We've had 45 mile drives to, which I think you guys do kilometers, right? So it's like 100 kilometers to a grocery store.
Jesus. Yeah. And that reminds me, because like I've had things where I've gone to a place and then the car battery has died, or like I've run out of petrol just because I didn't plan it well enough, like on my way to somewhere and kind of had to pull over and then like run to a garage to like fill up a thing with petrol and come back and put it in the car so I could get to the car to the garage. Like, has any of that sort of mad stuff ever happened, or are you just like kind of prepared for everything?
Our RV has a humongous gas tank or petrol tank. So it's like 100 gallons. I don't know what that is in liters, but anyways, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. So we can drive 1,000 miles or like 1500 kilometers or so before we have to put fuel in it.
Whoa.
And so I generally don't like to get anywhere below the 25% mark on the tank. And then I start like looking for, cause you know, we're 40 foot long RV with our car towing behind us. We're like 65 feet of vehicle that we have to get into a petrol station or a gas station. So I'm generally looking for truck stops, and, you know, depending on where you're at, truck stops can be few and far between. So we have to plan a little bit when we're getting close to needing to fill up, that we make sure like, hey, on our next drive, we need to make sure we hit a truck stop so we can fill up for the next several, you know, generally it's like a month and a half between fill ups, depending on how fast we're driving.
Wow.
And yeah, cause we don't travel fast. We go to a place, we stay there for a week or two, and then we drive a little bit, you know, a couple hours, and then we stay there for a week or two, and then we drive a little bit and we stay there for a week or two. So it can be, you know, if you're only driving a little bit,
it takes a
couple months to drive 1,000 miles. Yeah. Cause we're exploring. And you know, every once in a while you drive a lot. Like we went to surprise my wife's sister a couple of weeks ago up in Niagara Falls, and we had to drive 1500 miles in a couple of days. Right. And that's expensive in gas costs and whatnot. But you know, sometimes when it's been COVID for a while, we haven't got to see family. When we had the opportunity, we did it. And that's one of the things that's really nice about traveling, is you have that freedom. You're like, it's getting hot here, let's go to the beach. So you change your plans. You go to, you know, you move to the beach, right? Or when your wife's brother-in-law calls up and be like, hey, we're going to Niagara Falls in a couple of weeks, is there any chance you can meet us there? And we're like, well, it wasn't in the plans, but we can change them, right? Cause our life isn't written in stone. You know, so because we don't have to change anything. I don't have to change school. I don't have to ask for time off of work. I don't have to do anything. We just changed our travel plans, like where we were going to be.
So the freedom does sound good. Yeah.
So you have the freedom, but the freedom comes with its costs.
Yeah.
Right. Where, course. You know, you're in a moving vehicle and your house is on wheels. So shit breaks all the time. Right. I'm pretty sure we've replaced everything on this RV from the bottom to the top. It's not the same RV when we bought it. Right. You know, I'm redoing cabinetry, and you know, they're not built to be lived in full time. They're built to be lived in on the weekends when people take them out to, you know, recreate, because they're recreational vehicles. So when you put four kids in them full time and a dog and you beat the hell out of it all the time, things break. Right. So I'm like rebuilding cabinets, and I've rebuilt the storage bays, and I've fixed plumbing, and like we've had the toilet break, and you know, like just, you just sort of have to plan that things are going to go wrong. Because if it can, it will eventually. And that's part of the life, right? And that's, you know, it's the same kind of thing in your house. The only difference is in your house, if, you know, if something goes wrong, generally speaking, if it's not like, you know, it's not flooding, you can leave it for a little while and it won't be that big of a deal. But when your house is on wheels and it's very small, it's very obvious when something doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or it's doing what it's supposed to do. Especially if it's drivetrain related, because if it's drivetrain related, you're stuck. So you have to get it fixed, and you have to get it fixed now. There's the trade-offs.
Speaking of costs, is it like significantly cost-wise different to living in a sticks? What was it, a bricks and sticks house?
Sticks and bricks house.
Sticks and bricks. So
you can live the lifestyle very, very differently. And when we first started, our business was still small and we did not make a lot of money. So we lived very frugally, and we had paid cash for an RV and we didn't have any debt on it. And with all the traveling and everything we did with it, we averaged about $2,000 a month spending on traveling and living that way. Our house was about $2,700 a month. So we actually were $700 a month cheaper living in the RV. And traveling. So it was less expensive. But as our family grew and our business grew and our budgets grew, you know, we moved from a 27 foot RV to a 40 foot RV with three slides and a lot more space, and a big diesel engine. We could, you know, we bought a trailer to tow the car. And this RV has debt on it, right? So now we're paying $1,250 a month in debt service on this RV. And we have insurance and other things, all those went up. And I think, you know, we spend probably $3,500 a month now. So, you know, quite a bit more than we were. And, you know, we're still like, I know some people that have $1 million coaches that have like just their debt service on their RV is more than like most people pay on their house. So it really depends on what you want to do. You can do it very frugally, like we did in the beginning. You can do it sort of medium, like we're doing now, or you can just go nuts.
Or you can go for it. you mentioned, I was wondering, because I was going to ask you, had you upgraded the RV? So you've gotten a new one since that first one.
Yeah, since the first one, we gifted the RV to a friend of ours who had a family and wanted to travel. So we gave it to them for a small loan, essentially, less than we paid for it, which, you know, it was just, we were done with it. We got what we wanted out of it. And so we moved on. We bought the bigger one because we had the baby and we could no longer fit four kids in a very tiny RV. So we had to get enough space for four kids. So we bought a bigger RV with a diesel engine on it because it's a lot more powerful to drive than the gas engine was on the previous one. So we upgraded it and, you know, we're in this one for the foreseeable future until we're done with this. However, we are looking our next step after we've finished with the lower 48, buying a sailboat and doing port to port around the world.
Do you know, I was actually in my head thinking, I wonder what's next. Is it a boat? And then I was like, no, I don't know. I don't think he's going to say boat. And then you said boat.
One of our good friends is in the process of buying a boat right now. They're going to beat us to it. That's sort of the next step. We probably have at least one more summer traveling in the RV. And then we're going to try very seriously to move into a boat and learn to sail and, you know, take the kids around the world.
And just to go back, because I wanted to ask this a few minutes ago, but remember your friend who bought an RV at the start, bought the third one?
Yeah.
Is he still in the RV?
They are. They actually, that RV had some, ended up having some engine trouble and they blew the engine on it, not once, but twice in their first year traveling. So after the second time the engine blew, they got rid of that RV and they just finished renovating a trailer, which is the kind you tow behind a truck. And they moved back into it, like 3 days ago. And so they just went down to Texas and we're meeting them up in November, meeting up with them in November of this year. Cause they're having a baby. So we're going to go meet them, and travel with them some more, but yeah, we've traveled around with them, quite a bit, around the country, until they got stopped cause their RV, you know, blew up. but yeah, so they're back on the road again and yeah, they still travel and they still love the lifestyle as well.
And what was it like, because they're having a baby as well, what was it like to have a brand new baby in an RV?
So brand new baby in an RV was not, it was like having a baby at home. There was not really a lot of difference in having a baby. The baby sleeps with us. We co-sleep with the baby till they're about 2 years old. And so she was just in bed with us. And, you know, she learned to walk in an RV, you know, an RV's move. And, you know, she's going to be adventure bound, like from the ground up. Cause she's never been in the in a house, right? She's always moved and changed. And, you know, so she's grown up. What's interesting to me is how much quicker she's learned everything. And I'm not sure if that's just cause she's the fourth child is probably part of it. So she's got three older siblings, or that like, there's so much to do and see and be a part of that. She's like, I got to learn to walk and learn to talk like now. So she learned to walk at like, you know, 9-10 months old real early, and she learned to talk real young, like 15 months old. She's talking up a storm. Maybe that's part of the traveling. Maybe it's just because she's a fourth child and all of her siblings help her learn everything. Or maybe it's some, you know, interesting combination of both. But raising a baby on the road, to me, it seems like she's very vibrant, very happy. And I don't know. I think it's been a blessing.
And so is there anything else you'd like to add for, I guess, anyone considering the lifestyle or any insight, advice?
Yeah, if you're considering it, you want more space than you think, probably. I would tell people you probably want the largest RV that you can comfortably afford. Because, you know, living tiny has its problems. And so you want to have enough space that I don't know how to say that. Like, living tiny is not a problem, but if you go too small, then it can be a problem.
Yes. I totally get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like our first RV was too small for a family of five. Right. So we struggled a bit. We moved into the bigger RV and it's just right for our family to do what we need to do. And hitting that just right spot is like, it's difficult to know how to do that until you've actually moved into one and done it. So my recommendation is don't get yourself into debt in your first RV. Do something you can pay cash for and actually try it out, explore it, see what you think of the lifestyle. The lifestyle is not for everyone. Not everyone can handle the constant breaking of things. And, you know, that's a higher risk tolerance to, like, you know, we're going to go someplace, you drive them, you know, and then, you know, you blow a tire and like your whole plans are all messed up and, you know, whatever is going on, you have to reschedule everything. It can be high stress. But it comes with all the benefits of the freedom and the exploration and the fun and everything that goes with it. So you have, if you're interested, test it out, right? Get something you can pay cash for, see how your family fits, see how you handle the risk tolerance and what goes on with it. And, you know, we've run into a lot of people on the road that they get into it and they spend 6 months on the road. They're like, it was fun. It was a good experience, but I don't want to do it anymore. And they leave, and there's nothing wrong with that. So you just, you know, test it out. And we've met lots of other people that they get onto the road, and we've got some lifelong friends we met on the road now that they get on there and they're like, we're never moving back into a house. This is exactly what we want to do with our lives. So my recommendation for people who are interested in it is to experiment, like let yourself try, right? And, you know, see what it's like. And, you know, especially if you don't like own a house or something, even if you do own a house, you can Airbnb the house for a while and move into an RV and give it a try. If you don't like it, you can move back out. It's not a big deal. It's not like you failed. There's no way to fail at life. So you just give it a try and see what you think. And you might fall in love. You might not. The other part of that, give it at least 6 months, because you will have thrown out all of your routines and you have to rebuild them. You have to sort of get over that thing to rebuild the new routines and see what you think after you actually have established routines. You understand how to live the lifestyle. And once you get to that point, if you're like, still don't like this, then you can give it up. But if you love it, the fair warning is it's addictive.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. Can you remind everybody where to find you online, where to check out your YouTube channel and keep up with your life?
Yeah. So if they want to follow along with our travels, we've got a brand new YouTube channel, and we're actually going back and working on the videos from 4 years ago. And we're working on this year's videos sort of at the same time. So you can sort of keep up with our beginning of our story now. That's Days Without Incident. You can find us on Facebook or YouTube under that. If you search for it, we got our first couple of episodes are up and a couple more are in the process. I actually have Final Cut open behind you on Zoom. This is what we're working on. So Days Without Incident is that. And we also have a website, which doesn't have much on it yet, but it's dayswithoutincident.tv. And then if you're interested in my business stuff and you want to, we run a full service podcasting agency. So if you or someone you know runs a podcast and wants to have, you know, have us do all of the work for it, so they just show up and do what they're doing, that's pushbuttonpodcasts.com. And we actually, just as a gift for any of your listeners, we do 10% off their first month if they're interested. And we pay lifetime commissions to your show. So if you wanted to support Storytime, the Storytime podcast, if you mentioned that you came from them, we actually pay you a lifetime commission on anyone who comes from that. So
amazing.
Yeah.
I'll have all the links down in the description. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
Thank you so much for watching and or listening on the audio platforms. The Storytime podcast is available on all of the usual audio platforms, and the video version is on YouTube. If you could rate us on the audio platforms, it'll really, really help us out in terms of rankings and all that jazz. And thank you so much, Richard. And thank you. I'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.